The recordings have started.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and even good night. This is the RFP3 call for the 19th of January 2015, subcommittee of the CWG on IANA stewardship transition. A busy time as we've come off of our intensive work weekend. The accountability group is in Frankfurt for their face-to-face. Singapore is not far away, and here we are. Hope that we can make some considerable progress on this call. Where I'd like to pick up is where we left off, which is under composition on page 2 of this document. Composition has been somewhat of a Bermuda Triangle, but I hope that we can get through it and maybe see some potential compromises that could conceivably result. So I don't know if you all have scroll control. If you do, move to composition organizing principles. The changes that were made here are my changes or suggestions based on our last call. And I will endeavor to do changes from this call as soon as possible thereafter as well. Steve Crocker, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, the wording there says registry representatives from CC and G community and a small number of others within the names community. So I'm not 100% sure what the what set of people are in the names community that are not in the CC and G TLDs. I guess we could be talking about registrars.
Right. If you look down at the next row, lists the registrar as the commercial stakeholder group, non-commercial stakeholder group, GAC, SSAC, RSSAC, and ALAC as potential other members of the CSC.
I see. So just I'm not sure what the intent is, but this is probably a good time to get it sorted out. Now looking down at the next box, I do see that there are the other GNSO stakeholder groups. Three are listed: registrar, commercial stakeholder group, and non-commercial. But then governmental, should be governmental actually, advisory committee, security stability advisory committee, root server operations, RSAC, the names need to be fixed up a little bit, and at-large advisory committee, none of those are part of the names community per se. So it's a question of whether or not you want to make the wording in the box above consistent with the list that you've got there.
Right, we could. I think that I guess part of it depends on how you define the names community, if those were solely in ICANN due to their association with names. I think that's correct. We can certainly, I think it's more of a semantic distinction. So I think it would be, I think in an earlier iteration, this may have read other multi-stakeholder, represented as other multi-stakeholder organizations. So we can certainly make that consistent.
Also missing in that list is the IETF.
Right, that's mentioned two more lines down when there's a question of should other operational communities be represented. So there's a suggestion there that it could be the ASO and the IAB or the IETF in brackets.
I see.
That could also be seated on this.
All right. It's peculiar in a way to think of the IETF as operational.
Well, but that's by operational communities was meant numbers and protocol parameters. So I think that's it. Again, these are all kind of terms that have been thrown around a bit.
I'll t- take my hand down.
Milton Mueller.
Hello. I'm kind of confused by this. I remember the survey results regarding the CSC very clearly, and I thought there was pretty clear consensus that the CSC should be very much focused on direct customers of IANA. And what I have here in this column with all these other GNSO stakeholder groups and advisory committees is a recreation of the MRT. And I was under the impression that the whole purpose of having a CSC that was separate from the MRT was that one of them was very customer, I mean, it's the name, Customer Standing Committee, and most of these groups are not customers. Have we backtracked? I know I've missed a few meetings, but I don't quite understand why anybody would want the Customer Standing Committee to be a representative of every single names policymaking stakeholder group.
No, you haven't missed anything, nor have we backtracked. I think we're actually kind of on the horns of the issue right now, which is that there was strong support for a CSC that was primarily made up of registry representatives, but not. There was not strong support for a CSC that was made up exclusively of registry representatives. So I would put the question, or the place we're at now, is what leavening of the registries by other representatives would be useful and appropriate for this CSC, keeping in mind that the MRT would be a, at least as it's generally been discussed, a more balanced multi-stakeholder organization. So, the question is, we have these ingredients on our list, and some of them could be excluded entirely from the recipe. Some could be added, but they need to be added in a way that is, I think, limited in nature, and that provides some multi-stakeholder transparency and accountability and voice, but this does not swamp the CSC and make it into a clone of the MRT. If that's what we've done, then we haven't succeeded, and we're not going to get the buy-in because it's not going to be primarily made up of registry operator representatives unless they put 20 registry operator representatives on there, and that, I think, becomes a largish and probably unwieldy group. So I think one of the things that we discussed, for instance, in the high intensity work weekend was the possibility of, for instance, having all of the GNSO stakeholder groups that are not registries be represented by a single seat. Just for instance, be interested to hear some comments on that possibility. I see Aubrey's hand is up. I don't know whether that's responding to this, but I assume it's somewhere in the general vicinity. So, Aubrey?
Thank you. Aubrey speaking. Wow, it's loud in this room. I think one of the things that there was also strong support for was the notion of including the various sorts of experts, certainly the stability and security, certainly the root server. And then there were those of us that are arguing that, there needs to be at least one expert or two experts, maybe one from both the C and G side, on the policy implementation specialty to make sure that that's it. And then the other thing we have to consider is that we have been talking about possibly either minimizing the MRT or perhaps even doing away with it. We haven't quite concluded that discussion. And if that were to happen, then the rationale that says, but the MRT is the place for multi-stakeholders, sort of falls apart. So, I think it's not a closed. I think the strong support for primarily remains, but that doesn't mean that there's no one else on it. Thanks.
Thanks, Ari. I think those are both That's all very helpful. I would tend to agree with that. I think, at the moment, I think it's, we have to avoid what you've called the deadly embrace, where every variable is dependent on every other variable, and therefore you can't discuss any variable because it looks so different if the other variables change. I think for purposes of this discussion, it's best to assume that we have an MRP that is pretty much as was designed, which is a, let's call it a broadly multi-stakeholder organization with balance of some sort. So the idea is to have this group be focused on customers. So I see some talk in the chat. I guess, you know, question would be for Elise or for Paul, you know, where would you see no role for any of the other GNSO stakeholder groups to have any representation in here? And then what about JAC, SAC, RSSAC? Again, keeping in mind that the idea here is, I don't think anybody is pushing for a group that is not primarily registry operator representatives. So really at this point what we're talking about is kind of, to my mind, proportionality. You know, part of it in a sense may start with how many registry representatives would we want on this. You know, some might look at it as being regional. Does that mean that there should be five from each side? And should they be regional? Or do the fees want regionality but the G's not? So if we start perhaps with an assumption of 10 registry operator representatives, how many non-registry operator representatives could you have before they were too many? That's some musings, and I see Paul King, you have your hand up.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. I think if we just go back to basics, the customer group already looks at the IANA performance reports and evaluates those reports and highlights inefficiencies or inconsistencies or non-compliance with regard to the expectation that's been set. So already there is an unofficial, for want of a better word, customer grouping. And I don't think there is necessarily a need to have a barrier to participation. Anyone can highlight where ICANN, IANA is failing to live up to the high standards it set itself. But based on past performance, technical operation of the IANA has been pretty good. And so I would prefer we don't get hung up with how many seats are there at a table, because I hope it is not a formal table. I hope we all as a community will review the performance reports that are published, and if we identify an inconsistency or something wrong, we bring that to the attention of a global community, and I would hope IANA could justify the reason. So I would prefer not to get hung up on who's at the table, because I would certainly prefer it to be focused around customers, people that are reliant on a robust, real-time, technical function that IANA is, not to get sidetracked into being something like the MRT or some policy body, because IANA is a technical function servicing its customers.
Thank you, Paul. Could you provide a little bit more detail on the current customer group that reviews IANA performance? How large is that? Is it both G's and C's, et cetera?
So, as I mentioned at the Frankfurt meeting, already the IANA produces performance reports those are publicly available, and any member of the community can review those reports to identify if the report is accurate and if it's living up to the expectations that the community considers appropriate. So it's not a well-defined group. There aren't 10 people sitting around a table once a month. We all look at them periodically, including NTIA, periodically, to ensure compliance with the published contract standards and they're living up to their SLAs. So everyone today could look at them, if you so wished. And it's a type into a Google, IANA performance reports. You can see the reports that IANA have published. And if additional information is wanted in the reports, one can liaise with IANA staff, and they will consider placing additional parameters within the report. So it's already a fairly efficient service, and I'm just worried we're creating a mechanism that is quite onerous, burdensome, significant weight is being added to what should effectively be a lightweight technical performance review process, but we do it anyway as a community.
Thank you, Paul. Just one more question for you before we move on. In addition to the registries themselves, who do you think should be on this group of those that have been batted around, such as the ASO / NRO, IETF, RSSEC, SSEC, etc.? Who do you think would be useful from the point of view of a mandate, as well as the mandate of multi-stakeholderism?
I don't want to exclude anyone. Anyone can review the report. I don't think we need to have a set number of seats at a table. You could review the report right now, and if you had reason to believe that the report was inaccurate for whatever reason, then it should be highlighted. So we are all running registries 24 hours a day. We're all monitoring things 24 hours a day in the real world. So I don't think we need to get hung up over customer support bodies, because we're doing it anyway. And IANA is doing a good job in delivering a service. I sincerely hope they automate their process, as again we discussed in Frankfurt, and the CC community has been advocating for years, because that is the only downfall that IANA currently has. It is too slow at making changes. It used to be changes were done in real time before ICANN came into existence. Since ICANN has come in, it got slower, and it started to improve, but it's still days, plural, for updates to happen. We work in the real time. Customers do not want to wait days for changes to occur in DNS infrastructure.
Absolutely not. And I'm hoping that no suggestion or the development that we come up with would cause there to be any delays. But, Paul, are you suggesting that there should be no customer standing committee and that it should just be an ad hoc communication among customers? Or are you suggesting it should be Go ahead.
So I think there is merit in having an ad hoc group. I think it is merit in having a placeholder for having a customer group. But I think, and how often would that customer group meet? Once a year, once every 2 years. Because the community will announce to the globe where IANA is deficient and failing to live up to the expected standards. So that will be real-time announcement. I'm just worried we're getting very bogged down in creating a heavyweight organization rather than a lightweight service-focused organization serving customers. So, but that's my opinion. I'm open to others. I just like to try and keep the status quo as it is. The reports IANA produce are excellent, I would far rather we keep the good service that IANA currently delivers, albeit it desperately needs to be automated for those CC registries and GTLD registries that want end-to-end automation or real-time updates.
Right. Thank you, Paul. I'll move on to Donna Elston.
Thanks, Greg. Donna Austin. So I largely want to support what Paul has just said with a couple of caveats. I do think there is probably merit in having a formal body, CSC, because things are changing. So it doesn't hurt to formalise it. But I really think we should take the lessons learned from the CCTLD relationship with IANA that's developed over time. And I really think we do need to look at that and take the best of that we can. I've said previously on a number of calls that the CCs are the ones that have that relationship and we can build on that. The Gs are yet to experience that relationship given that, there's many new GTLDs coming online now. And I think that we will look to the CCs and their relationship and the way that they've managed that with IANA over time to work out what's going to work for us as well. Greg, I just wanted to address the question you had about RIRs and IETF being involved as part of this CSC. I think the Registry Stakeholder Group comments supported this idea, and I can't remember whether it was the CSC and the MRT, but the reasoning behind why we supported it was because they are direct customers of IANA, and if we had concerns about performance levels from IANA, we would talk to the RIRs and IETF and see if they had the same concerns. Because I think as also being direct customers, I think there's some value in having that kind of feedback and interaction from the other direct customers. So that's why we supported it, and I think that still stands. As other customers of the service, I think it's important that you have some kind of cross-connection, that's the wrong word, but some opportunity to see whether the other customers are experiencing the same problems. Understanding they're not, you know, we're not comparing apples with apples, but I think there is a relationship there that is mutual, so we should, to the extent that we can, use that, particularly if we're looking at if performance levels are getting to such a point where there is genuine concern and there is a possibility of rebid with the intention of changing the IANA functions operator. Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. I'll turn to Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. Maybe it's because it's late at night here. I've had a very long day, and I didn't get much sleep the last couple of days. But I'd really like, as I said on our weekend calls, I suspect multi-stakeholders who are assigned to this will not end up participating a lot. And if they do, it's another set of eyes. And let's be blunt, what's the harm of pandering to us? I haven't heard anything against that.
Thanks, Alan. I guess to play counterpoint to that, I guess the one harm to pandering, as you put it, somewhat jocularly, is that it could create a situation where it slows down the process in some fashion. I'm not saying it would, but I'm saying that that's one of the things that we've been hearing is a concern that the CSC itself could become too bureaucratic, and too slow in its ability to react, or could possibly insert itself into the middle of situations that are working well without a lot of intervention, and somehow kind of muck up the works. I guess that's a concern. I can't say, I'm not saying I agree with it, but I'm saying that might be the concern. And I'm as concerned as anyone that we don't get bogged down here, but I think we need to see if we can have a resolution. I think that other than the most straightforward type of resolution is to have fewer multi-stakeholder representatives than the multi-stakeholders, so to speak, would prefer, and more than the registries. That's kind of the old-fashioned split the baby compromise. Other options are to have to change the relationship between the MRT and the CSC in some way. And, you know, I think Jonathan, I think, had suggested earlier, and I'm trying to find where in the, here he states in the chat up a bit, my suggestion during the weekend sessions was to consider MRT as the place for multi-stakeholder and to then view the two in an integrated, holistic fashion. My personal perspective still leans in that direction. So not exactly sure how you operationalize that, but I think that, and I note several of Aubrey's comments you know, that the having a certain amount of multi-stakeholder representation on the CSC is a form of accountability. So that's, you know, one of the arguments in favor. So, you know, part of the issue here is that we can stake out relatively far apart circumstances. Won't really get anywhere that way. Or we can try to see what sort of compromises could potentially work. I think a lot of this depends on making sure that the functions of the Customer Standing Committee stay narrowly focused on technical and operational review. The idea that the CSC would only meet once every year or two seems to me at odds with the idea, which originally started out, that the monthly reports would be reviewed by this group. And as long as the monthly reports showed no negative numbers, so to speak, nothing that was at odds with SLAs, that there really wouldn't be anything for the CSC to do, and it wouldn't slow anything down. As the issues get a little more, you know, interesting, if you will, when there is some sort of a performance shortfall. Milton, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think there are actually clear and present harms or dangers to mixing up the roles of the CSC and the MRT, and I think this is precisely what some of us are sort of leading us into doing. If you put a bunch of policy people into the CSC, which is supposed to be monitoring very technical forms of performance and implementation, then I think you're asking for policy considerations to start mucking about with the technical implementation. I think that's just an inevitable thing. And to say that, they're just going to sit back and be quiet and not do anything is, again, if that's actually the case, then there's no reason to have them on there. A compromise, however, Greg is correct that we need to be talking about that, is to maybe indicate one kind of, let's call it an ombudsperson, but not in the specific sense of the ICANN ombudsman, but a kind of a single designated person who's there to kind of keep an eye on the registries and provide a window into what evil conspiracies they're cooking up while going over the IANA reports. I could accept that as a compromise. But other than that, I think it's just registries, RSAC, and SSAC.
Thanks, Milton. Hopefully there aren't evil conspiracies. I know that you were speaking for effect. And if there are, hopefully other forms of transparency will also be available. I assume that the work of the group will be open in terms of observers and in terms of any, and as Paul has mentioned, the reports themselves are very are open and available as well. Aubrey says, I'm looking for one or two people, not bunches mucking about. So it seems that there is, the idea is to have a small representation. So it could, you know, as I said earlier, it could be a single person representing the non-registry GNSO stakeholder groups, and maybe what Milton is going at is, you know, one step further, could be somebody there who is generally representing the, what you might call the policy side of the house, such as, you know, represent the all of the GNSO stakeholder groups, the GAC and the ALACs, or the multi-stakeholder group in general, or it could be even a single representative of the MRT chosen from the non-registry members of the MRT that would sit there and be that person. So I see Aubrey saying one or two, Milton saying let's agree on one. Alan saying, I'm glad that we've now gotten down to just the GNSO and eliminated the rabble. I think that was speaking from the ALAC perspective, as self-identified rabble. So I think if the one person, if we take the one person from the MRT, it doesn't necessarily have to be from I said it would be a non-registry person. It could just as easily be an ALAC or GAC person from the MRT, as it would be CSG or NCSG or registrar person. And the reason I think about it being in the MRT is that we at least have their kind of a ready-made grouping of the multi-stakeholder interests that could be reported back to and are kind of gathered, so that it would be reasonable for, say, an ALAC person to be there and have a reporting process to go back to the MRT and to speak, you know, for and have some reasonable capacity to speak for kind of the non-registry stakeholders as a whole, not necessarily formally, but to kind of have a communication line that would be identifiably the multi-stakeholder seat or two seats at the most. I think we could get there. Olivier Carpin-Leblond.
Thanks very much, Greg. It's Olivier speaking. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. Thanks. I'm looking at the results of the survey that we had and looking at the, you know, the CSC survey, CSC MRT summary results. Looking at the answers of everyone on this, it looks like question two, where the question is the CSC membership should include a substantial multi-stakeholder component. It has, I would say, a very small majority of people saying they disagree or strongly disagree. So I would say this is a split answer on there. Question three, the CSC membership should be restricted to CCTLD and GTLD operators, thus making it entirely just CCs and GTLD registries. Here, there is, again, a split between the two, with the majority, a small majority of people would be okay with that. That said, when question four, I think, is the important one, the CSC membership should primarily consist of CCTLDs and GTLD registry operators with related experts. And I just don't see, I understand the thing that operations might be slowed down if you start having a huge CSC with people that are not directly related to those functions. But I don't see why there would be anything against related experts there. We're talking here about representatives of some parts of the internet world that know what they're doing and that would be appointed. They wouldn't just take any Tom, Dick, or Harry. They would appoint someone who would, I would hope, know what they're talking about. And I would actually perhaps even say primarily CCTLD and GTLD registry operators, and I would be happy with liaisons. And in fact, I don't know whether the CSC would ever have to vote or anything like that. I'd imagine since it just has to review customer-level agreements and SLAs, I'd say there wouldn't be any vote or anything, so we don't even need to go as far as that. But certainly having those extra pairs of eyes on there, that would certainly make, I would say, our community very happy, because ultimately, as it's been repeated many times over, this CSC is just going to look at SLAs, and SLAs are available for everyone to look at. But it's one of these things, you know, just making sure that everything runs well. So I hope I've kind of shown, you know, we're happy with, I mean, I'm certainly happy with having primarily CCs and Gs and just a few more pairs of eyes out there and looking, having more people with more representatives, let's say, you know, five people for the GNSO and five people for the ALAC, I think, would not be constructive. These people can act as liaisons back to their groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Back to you, Donna.
Thanks, Greg. Donna Austin. I just wanted to pick up on something that Olivier said, and I just want to clarify what we're talking about here. Olivier referenced that the CSC could potentially slow down, you know, changes that were requested or some of the operational work that's going on from IANA. As I see this group, they are looking at monthly type reports. So they're not actually... my concern here is that Olivia might be talking about when there's a request that goes through for authorization, that the whole committee looks at that. And I certainly would hope that that is not the case. So if what we're talking about is just a monthly rolling look at the service level reports that IANA is issuing, then that's fine. But if we're talking about this group getting involved in day-to-day changes to the WHOIS database or potential delegations or redelegations, then I have a real concern. So I'd just like to get some clarity about what we're talking about here. Is this a group that looks at the potentially develops SLAs and monitors performance against that, or are we talking about something where this group can potentially get in the middle of a request for changes before IANA makes them? I'd just like some clarity around that.
Thank you, Donna. From my point of view, and remembering what has been discussed, it's been my thought that the CSC is, as you discussed, and is not going to be the new authorization function, which is not something that we have resolved, whether there will be a replacement for the authorization function, if so, what it will be. But I think we're not speaking about having the CSC be the authorization function. And I do see them as essentially meeting, if you will, on the phone monthly to at least, you know, have a quick spot check. Or gut check, or whatever kind of check you want to have, a comprehensive check of the reports from that come out of the IANA function group, and then have, if there are any issues, would decide how to make a first attempt to resolve them in the same kind of back and forth way that, you know, Paul has indicated, you know, has taken place in the past, you know, directly. Speaking to the IANA, and only if there was no ability to kind of resolve things quickly, then that would be escalated to the MRT. But presumably, the majority or even vast majority of operational shortfall could be identified and discussed in a resolution path agreed by the CSC without the MRT ever being activated for that purpose. At least that's my thinking on the subject. I'll go back to Olivier.
Thank you, Greg. It's Olivier speaking, and I'll agree with you absolutely. And when I mentioned slowing things down, if you have a CSC that is too large, I was only repeating what's been said on the call a little bit earlier today. So, you know, ultimately, I don't know whether it would slow things down. We're starting to really look too far ahead, but certainly keeping it compact, keeping it with people that know what they're talking about is what's important on that. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Paul Kane.
Just very briefly, I would like to, I've been looking at the chat, I would like to agree with Donna, Greg, what you've been saying, and Alan. The CSC, in no circumstances, should slow anything down. It should not impact the day-to-day operation of how the IANA delivers service to its registry customers. With respect to the authorization function currently performed by NTIA. That is a role that was introduced around about 2000-ish. Before 2000, there was no authorization function. The CC registry operator was the party responsible for all entries in the IANA database. We used to have real-time updating of that, and it was the registry manager that was accountable to its user community. And so it was in the registry manager's interest to make sure that the information was both accurate and entered in a timely and efficient manner. There was no way in which changes were slowed down. When NTIA came into being or sought to have oversight of entries, that was a checks and balances routine. They didn't authorize a change. They confirmed that the process had been followed. I sincerely advocate and hope that we will return to fully automated interface for those registries that want it, so that the accountability rests with the registries to deliver a quality of service, and so there is no opportunity for those registries that want to be responsible for their entries in the IANA database to have any third party, ICANN, IANA, or anyone else, interfere with the changes they make. They are accountable to their users, which include governments, which include a legal contract with their registrants, and they are accountable under the rule of law in which the registry is based. And so the CSC should not be an authorization function, should not impede the ability of the registry managers to perform its function, certainly for CCTLDs, and very largely, I think, probably for the GTLDs.
Thank you, Paul. I think there seems to be strong support for that, and I think that's one thing we can put to bed. And I'd say that I'm seeing some convergence around the idea of a CSC that would have a number to be decided of registry operator representatives, a representative of the SSAC and the RSSAC, and some sort of multi-stakeholder representative for kind of everybody else that may be a liaison from the MRT, and that would provide kind of both a conduit and a little bit of transparency and a seat at the table, but would clearly be, as it has been said, it would be primarily and predominantly registries, and I'm not sure. It would be nice to get some idea of what the registries think of how many registries should be on this, whether it should be one or three or five, or some if there's a number that is rational or based on breakdowns of registries as they currently stand. But I'd like to see if there's some general comment or strong disagreement with that thought as well. So I don't know if Avery asked whether don't registries get as many as they want. I'm not sure. It doesn't become a useful group if it's large, and I think arguments about it being, you know, compact and lightweight kind of fall apart if there are 40 registries on the group. You know, and the group, whether you're in the group or not, doesn't affect your access to the reports. It's just providing some sort of a customer body that would, in essence, have a combined voice to go back to IANA. And one other, not to throw another item in here, but one other item that's been discussed about CSC function is to have some voice on innovation, and not just to review kind of current performance, but to also have a voice on performance improvements, such as Paul mentioned, automation, which, given that I understand that it's basically existing but unplugged, may not be so much an improvement issue per se, but it's a fair enough example. So I think maybe I see Donna's hand is up.
Thanks, Greg, Donna, Austin. I guess I was going to make the point that perhaps, you know, you could, if you wanted to, you could set a minimum requirement for what you want the CSC to be. My minimum requirement, maybe 2 CCTLD operators and maybe 2 GTLD operators. And the rest are an opt-in. I'm pretty sure that Paul can probably confirm this, is that CCs participated if they wanted to. So there was no requirement for all CCs to be engaged in discussions with IANA with regard to improving performance. So maybe if we can just set a minimum requirement with the idea that others can opt in if they wanted to at some point in time. But I think by trying to, I don't know, I just feel that we've been down this road before, so perhaps let's set a minimum requirement of what we think is reasonable. And maybe, and Avery, I take your point that we haven't agreed on an MRT, but perhaps we need to think of the MRT in terms of what role it has in some of the functions that perhaps we're trying to put into the CSC. So I don't know. Can we, if it's possible to set a minimum requirement and then can we just move on? We've done this ad nauseum. We've done it a few times now. So if we can at least agree on a minimum, maybe we can move forward somewhere else.
Thank you, Donna. I think we certainly have discussed this, and I don't know if it's quite ad nauseum, but I think the sticking point has always been the size, if any, of the multi-stakeholder component that would be here. And I think we have made some forward progress if there is some convergence on the idea of a single multi-stakeholder representative. I do note, I think, a comment by Alan that he said he did not think he heard any support from any one rep from the rest of the multi-stakeholder world for that. I think, I mean, not to speak for anybody else, but in terms of scorekeeping, if you will, I've spoken in favor of it. I think Milton, so that's at least the CSG and CSG. I don't know if we have a registrar representative. I'm scanning the list here. And ALAC and GAC. I saw GAC support for that as well, I believe. So it seems to me that we did have kind of a fairly broad support for a small and Graham Button is here. I don't know, Graham, if you have a thought on that, if you're okay, you know, sharing a kind of a multi-stakeholder representative kind of for all the I'll call them the other multi-stakeholders in the list, not SAC, not RSAC, but the ALAC, GAC, and the rest of GNSO that's not registered. Suspect registrars might grumble about it. Well, there's going to be grumbling in a sense that the CSG would certainly like a seat. The constituencies that are in the CSG, which operate essentially independently, would each like a seat, but I'm sitting here saying that I think the sense I have of the CSG is that given that the multi-stakeholder action really occurs at the MRT, that a single set of eyes and ears that is non-registry would win some days. So Graham, you know, is going to take it back, and the spirit of keeping it lean thinks we can make it work. So I think that is the idea. If we can get to that point that we have at least it doesn't look like a closed shop, which gives people pause. It's not going to be full of a bunch of policy types wandering around, you know, wondering what IANA stands for, and we could get somewhere on this point. In any case, I think, unless there's anybody else who would like to speak to this topic, I see no hands, I think we could move on. I think this is, we've not only beaten the dead horse. I think we've caught up and eaten the dead horse. So, next point on this is the line is, how will the member seats on the CSD be allocated? Hopefully don't have to spend too much time on this. There's a suggestion that it will be done by this working group, or it could be done by the MRT. And there's a suggestion that was made by an anonymous person, so I'm not sure if they were making the suggestion seriously or in jest, that it could be done by the registry stakeholder group and the CCNSO. I think that if that's meant seriously, that would be, you know, exclusively a stakeholder group of registries, or rather a CSE only of registries. So I think we discard that. Donna, I see your hands up.
Greg, I'd just like to let you know that I am the anonymous contributor, and I was serious. I did, within my comments, I felt I had my name underneath it, but obviously I didn't. So as the primary customers of this function, I was very serious that those seats be determined by the registries.
Now, certainly the registry seats should be determined by the registries, and if we're talking about SSAC and RSSAC as having seats, and would you think that the who sits in those seats should be approved by the registries or by the CWG or CSC or whom else? And I'll ask essentially the same question for what we'll assume, you know, for the purpose of discussion, is the single multi-stakeholder seat.
So perhaps I misunderstood what the point was trying to get at, but I'm still a little bit confused in my head because we haven't agreed what representation would look like. So it's a little bit difficult to decide who's going to determine who agrees to those seats. One of the discussions that we had, I think Robert Guerra mentioned this during the discussion on the weekend work, was that similar to what the ESSAC does, perhaps you actually have an application process whereby you can attest to certain technical expertise that would be useful in the work of the CSC, and then there is a selection process as to who is actually placed on the CSC. So that was something that resonated with me, and I thought it sounded reasonable. But I don't see that as being identified here in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Olivier.
Thank you, Greg. It's Olivier speaking. I'm not against an SSAC type, was it selection process or some way with, you know, applications and then peer review, et cetera. That would certainly seem to be a nice way forward to have people that know what they're talking about. That said, I wonder why we need to define the selection for this committee, which is just going to be reviewing SLAs. Are we starting to really micromanage a bit too far on this? Because I would imagine the registries, the Gs, would want to have their own selection process, whatever process they put together to select people on that committee. And the CCs would also want to design their own process. And certainly, if there any other seats that are there, the various communities would design their own process. So I don't know why we would have to design this. If you could please clarify. Thank you.
Yeah. Olivia, I tend to agree with you that each group should come up with a selection process. And as Paul Kane notes, the CCNSO may not be the right place for the CCs to make that decision, since many CCs are not in the CCNSO, and that increasing number of Gs are not necessarily in the registry stakeholder group either, among the new registries. I don't want to belabor this, so I do think that a selection process that involves, that's primarily driven by the group who's putting folks on there with some form of credentialing, or maybe it's at least an honor code form of credentialing, that would take place so that people who are on there are useful. Bernie's commenting, from the working weekend, we talked about a two-stage process to ensure there are valid candidates. So I think we could, I don't recall exactly what that said. I see Eduardo saying, what was decided about the final composition of the CFC? Nothing was decided. There seemed to be some convergence around the idea of a multi-stakeholder seat for the for those that other than SSAC and RSSAC and the registries, and that there was also support for either representation or liaison, depending upon how the overall solution gets worked out with the IETF and the ASO, so that the other the numbers and protocol parameters customers are in sync with the numbers customers, the names customers, rather. So I think that's somewhat where we're at. I think that needs to be floated back out to the larger group to see if we could get some support for that. And Bernie says, reminding on the that the home group would nominate and some other independent group would validate. I'm not sure who the independent group would be. And I think in the case of once the CSC is ongoing, it could be the CSC or it could be the MRT. I think the idea is if it is, you know, it's supposed to be a narrowly focused group, that having somebody in there that doesn't know what they're doing isn't going to do anybody any good. But we'll hope that there will be some recognition that contributions need to be valuable. I think we can roll past this to the next, unless there's any other comments on this point. The question here is, will there be participants in addition to members? I know I see Alan Greenberg saying in the chat, one multi-stakeholder seat certainly will send a message to those who oppose the multi-stakeholder concept. I'm not sure what message it would send. Frankly, it shouldn't be viewed in isolation. It should be viewed in conjunction with the MRT. And if the message is that the same multi-stakeholder type of representation, you know, should not be used for every organization, that's not necessarily a bad message to send, that we can be somewhat more flexible and build things that are fit for purpose. That's, I think, you know, not a bad message at all. But getting back to this point, so the idea is that there would not be participants in the sense that there are participants in this group who participate on an equal footing other than the rare vote or consensus call. But I inserted here, based on some of the previous discussion, that observers should be allowed, consistent with transparency and accountability. You know, the mailing list should be open, and that the meeting should be open to at least on a listen only basis. So, any thoughts on that, or should I say, any disagreement with that as a concept? Being none, I will move on. Will there be alternate members? No, but members will need to provide a proxy for purposes of consensus call if they will miss a meeting. This would, of course, kind of speak against an ad hoc organization of amoebic size. Should CCTLD registry representative seats be allocated by region? Says here TBD. I think I would take the heart of what was said earlier, that each group should figure out how it wants its representatives to be chosen. Matthew, I think, you know, seeing what you said a little bit earlier in the chat about composition, that seems to be roughly where we're at, as a slightly more something more than a straw man and less than a final decision. Um,
Yap Akrahoj says, note that SDAC has no operational role in ICANN processes, so one wonders whether a permanent role will be accepted by SDAC. Well, if SDAC thinks they have nothing to bring to the table on a kind of a monthly basis, they can certainly, and they're, of course, always available to be brought into a situation if the CFC believes there is one that requires a SAC response. I don't think anybody has to have a seat that is that doesn't believe their organization should have a seat. You know, there are some organizations that are clamoring for seats, and the question is whether they should have one, and then others that may think that they don't want one, which is, to my mind, just fine. As I think we've been saying since Frankfurt, that this should be boring and that there should be some drop-off over time. One would hope it's not boring to those who are doing it. You know, being a watchman in a sense is boring, but not when something is going wrong. In any case, I digress a bit. So I would say in this case, to let the CCs decide amongst themselves whether they are going to have representatives by region. And if they only have two representatives, as you know, might be a one version of this, then it seems to me they probably would not be by region. So the next question, should there be any other balance considerations aside from balance among stakeholder groups, which we agreed is not going to be so balanced, given the remit of the CFC and the existence of the MRT. So the answer is no, but the focus should be on appointing qualified and dedicated people. So we're back on qualification again, which seems to be agreed on. We have here that members will be chosen by their stakeholder groups using processes developed by these groups. That seems to be getting a general support. Olivier.
Yeah, thank you very much, Greg. It's Olivier speaking. And I think that if there was boredom that came to some of the representatives in the CSC, it might be a good idea for, and that's probably something for us to determine, whether the committees that appoint people to the CSC are able to recall them or replace them.
Right. Yes, I think that's actually two or three lines down. And yes, obviously, we don't want people just failing to contribute. There should be enough interest that if someone falls away, they should be replaced. So just going down next, how would the CSC meet, phone, web, face-to-face? Answer, meetings would be primarily by phone and web remote participation types. And face-to-face meetings could occur at ICANN meetings, and doesn't necessarily have to happen, although I think that, you know, given the somewhat more frequent meetings of the CSC, having them at the ICANN meeting would make perfect sense. Then the next question, I think, gets to what Olivier brought up. Can members be recalled by their communities and or the MRT? Yes, this should be specified in the charter. And each community should be encouraged to implement a method for recall. In addition, the MRT, maybe this should be the CSC rather than the MRT, can remove a member for failure to participate pursuant to an escalation process to be determined. In other words, not one strike and you're out, but missing a certain number of meetings without proxy or apologies, and maybe missing slightly more meetings if you have proxies and apologies yourself, but haven't really participated on your own, would be reasonable. If anybody thinks any of this is unreasonable, you know, please speak up. Next, can members be removed for other reasons and stated number of absences, as we discussed? The MRT, or I think probably should be the CSC, should be required to replace that member. Term lengths and limits TSC members should be appointed for limited terms. I don't know if there's an opinion on how long those terms should be. I'll float 2 or 3 years out as possibilities, since the first year is a learning process for many years. Even if they know what they're doing, they don't necessarily know how to do it in this context. Member staff terms should be staggered to ensure continuity. That seems to be generally a popular idea. So should not have, if there are, say, 2 representatives from the Cs, they should not rotate off at the same time. Milton, your hand's up.
Just on the terms, I just wanted to throw in there the idea that some of us who support periodic contracting think that the term length of the members should somehow correspond to that contracting cycle, so that they would be in a better position to provide the input and oversight that would be required to do that.
So are you suggesting that, I know that we talked about that in the MRT, and given the MRT's involvement in contracting, that certainly makes sense. You're suggesting that would also make sense here?
Yes. We certainly, my understanding is the CSC would be able to elevate things to the MRT or provide the MRT with information. And I think we're also talking about one of the members of the CSC being a liaison to the MRT. So I think it makes sense to sync up the contracting cycle with the MRT term lengths and the CSC term lengths.
Okay. Now, that would mean if there were, say, a 5-year term for a contract, that are you suggesting that members should be on for 5 years, or they should not rotate off during, say, a contract review process? Or how would you match it up with the contracting cycle, assuming there's a contracting cycle?
I guess it would mean that... But, yeah, if the contracting cycle is 5 years, yeah, you could have staggered terms, but they should be at least 5 years so that nobody would go on or off the CSC without being part of at least one contracting cycle. And the continuity to the newer members going into a contracting cycle.
Thank you, Mel.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes, it does. Any thoughts on that, agreement, disagreement? Seeing neither, I'll move on. I just see some discussion in the chat about whether meeting schedule should be set. I don't think it's overly prescriptive to say for a group that's reviewing monthly reports that you should meet once a month, possibly after those reports come out. Whether the meeting takes 15 minutes or longer, or people agree that a meeting isn't needed that particular month, because everybody agrees that the report was just plain vanilla, I don't have a problem with that. And 5 years seems like it may be long for a lot of people. It seems long to me. I understand that, you know, the desire for some institutional knowledge, but I think, you know, by and large, there's going to be a lot of institutional knowledge around outside of the representatives. As can be seen by the people who are around the table or even on this phone call. And so I think if we think of the representatives as representatives, they should be able to call on their predecessors and on those with longer beards, so to speak, in their groups. So that would be kind of my thought, that we may get telling somebody they're on a 5-year tour of duty maybe. That may be as discouraging as anything else, although if somebody wants to stick around for 5 years or even 10 or 15 years, that may not be an issue. So anyway, let us move along, as we're now at 1:15 into the second hour. how will the leadership be of the CSC be constituted? Suggest at least a chair and a vice chair, typically a minimum to function. Any thoughts on that? Certainly seems reasonable to me. Seeing no thoughts of at the moment, how will decisions be made? Does whenever possible decisions will be made on the basis of rough consensus? Decisions, I suppose, might be more talked out in the sense of if there is a shortfall, what is the best approach, at what point, and a decision, and whether it's time to escalate the MRT versus not, might also be the type of decisions that could be made. Does a more necessary or formal consensus call be conducted among the members? And then there's some disagreement here in the sense that there are possible two variables, whether there should be voting or no voting at all, or whether there should be voting, but that uses a supermajority voting construct. Any thoughts on this? No thoughts. Don Austin?
So, Greg, I guess when I saw this, it raised the question of what would they possibly be voting on? I see this as kind of a collegiate group, not necessarily a voting or decision-making group, so I'm just curious as to what things you think they would be voting on.
Yeah, I tend to agree. As I said, I think, you know, decisions that might be made are when to escalate something and perhaps the approach that might be taken in going back to IANA to discuss a performance shortfall. But I agree that, you know, generally the multi-stakeholder model voting, you know, is the exception in a sense rather than the rule. I'm not going to pretend to be a scholar on the multi-stakeholder model, but from what I see, and that I would probably say that they should stick to the rough consensus model and that there would be no voting. So that these are just, you know, alternatives that were, you know, in the mix in our discussion. So I'm throwing them out. Part of the trick here is to eliminate, try to get down to some things that may actually be statements that we could all reasonably get behind in a consensus compromise sort of fashion. So anybody who likes the idea of voting for this group, I will ask them to state their case. Nobody among the current participants stating their case. I think that we can remove voting from this list and stick to rough consensus and decide whether humming is going to be part of that or not. Can be made within the CSC. Will the CSC have other advisors, including legal counsel? The answer there is there, you know, should be none given their responsibility. I think, you know, the only advisors, if you will, are going to be, you know, there's the RSSAC, and then there's kind of liaison, but not really expert advisors coming in from protocols and members. So I think this seems to be kind of the right answer to me with regard to experts. One hopes that there's expertise and expects that there'll be, you know, expertise within the group on this point. Communication to the MRT. CSC will communicate on all formal and required matters in writing to the MRT. An email is acceptable, but not social media, text, or chat. Somewhat getting into the weeds on that point. And again, I think the only communications are going to be an escalation, which one should hope nobody would do in a tweet. So that also seems to be fairly straightforward, agreeable. Some of this is supposed to be non-controversial, so it's good to see that some of it may actually be. Support needs. CSC will require a secretariat. It would be nice to have some help. I don't know if it will require a secretariat, but there should be at least some help. Could share this with the MRC, and we'll need kind of the usual, some sort of a wiki in place to store its information, especially for transparency and accountability reasons, should have that. In terms of secretariat, Paul, for my particular constituency, our secretariat, I believe we get 4 hours a week. So we're not talking about a full-time secretariat. So we're just talking about a little bit of kind of clerical administrative assistance so that we're not all engaging in self at all times, pitching our own tents. So I think that's what we're talking about there. And whether if a secretariat is a little bit of extra help is not needed and never called on, then you know that can always be taken out of the budget. Or if there is a member who contributes kind of secretariatly because they happen to have you know good support in their own place, that's also fine too. Compensation for members. Members will not be compensated except in thanks of the community. Travel support. This was to be determined. If offered at all, members should receive travel support only based on need, e.g. for members who do not have travel paid for by their employer or their organization, and only for face-to-face meetings that are not ICANN or Internet governance meetings, which I guess would be some sort of a special purpose CSC-only meeting like the Frankfurt face-to-face for our group, which was unique to our group. Anybody who thinks that there should be more travel support for members of this group than that, or that it shouldn't be need-based. But the point of need is that there is to allow for some issues that may come from, especially developing countries, where the expense of getting to a face-to-face meeting, if there ever was one, and there may never get. As Donna said, I can't envision a situation where travel would be required. Under these circumstances, it would only be a unique kind of CSC-only meeting or maybe a CSC-MRT meeting. So I think we may be talking about hen's teeth at this point. So I think we could probably move on this point and say basically no travel support, unless somebody wants to make an argument that there should be some need-based travel support. Matthew says, plus one to Don, all the check-ins at ICANN meetings might be useful. Certainly nobody's going to stop a bunch of people saying the CSC is going to meet in the lobby bar at 6 p.m. That might actually increase participation in the CSC. When would the CSC? The CSC would meet at a minimum on a monthly basis to review the performance report. I would take out the at a minimum. I would say more that they would meet on a monthly basis, subject to the group deciding that a meeting was necessary based on the monthly report. Funding, same as MRT, that's kind of a punt at the moment. I think we'll leave it there. Capture. Safeguards must be in place to ensure that the CSC remains independent of quote-unquote ICANN corporate, but also cannot be captured or unduly influenced by government, IGOs, or specific economic or ideological interests, or I would add, you know, particular stakeholder groups or ACs, conceivably. Any thoughts on capture? I know we have some people for whom capture is a particularly hot issue. Aubrey says, seems already captured by registrants. Yeah. Any response to that? I guess the issue is, for what it is doing, is this really capture? Is there an ability for the group to do something that would not be in, to a benefit to the Internet community as a whole. I don't think we want to say that every imbalanced organization has been captured. There's some who would say that every organization that doesn't have a representative from every possible group has been captured by everybody else, but that's my I don't find that to be compelling. I think capture needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis. I think if there is, since this is a customer standing committee, as Milton says, this would be like the NCSG being captured by non-commercial interests. Well, we want to argue whether certain non-commercial interests have captured the NCSG to the exclusion of others. Probably could argue that about every single stakeholder group in AAC. Unless we're doing this over adult beverages, I don't think there's anything valuable to be gained by seeing who's captured by whom. More generally, Milton, your hand is up.
Well, I think the word capture is thrown around in a way that is getting to be a little bit ridiculous because, you have to look at an entire, what power is it that is being captured here in the CSC? We were having this discussion earlier, and Donna Austin got a lot of plus ones for saying that she didn't think the CSC would be making that many decisions. It's more oversight and escalation and reporting. So what exactly is the – what are you capturing if you capture the CSC? The right to do a lot of, reading of SLAs or – I just don't quite get this. If you want to talk about capture, you're talking about power, and you have to pay attention to where power really is, and you don't necessarily protect against capture by just having a lot of different stakeholders, nominally different categories of stakeholders on a group either. There's all kinds of fully open representative entities that can, in fact, be captured by small elites who perpetuate themselves. So let's not throw this term around as if we were discussing, who is the president of the United States or who's going to have their finger on a button that launches nuclear missiles. We're talking about, the customer standing committee that, looks at IANA.
Greg muted.
Sorry, I was talking to myself with the mute button on. Sorry about that. But I think in terms of capture, given the narrowness of the remit, which is one of the ways in which capture is controlled for, is to narrow the power of the group. I think that is the kind of the capture protection here and the transparency and the accountability. So I'm not sitting here sweating capture, personally. And I'm not necessarily someone who thinks there's never been any capture in the history of Viking. Last question here, which is kind of ending with a whimper rather than a bang. How would the CSC conduct site visits, which are in the current IANA functions contract? And we did have it confirmed that the NTIA does, in fact, conduct site visits. So first question may be, is it the CSC that should conduct these site visits, which are annual, or should it be the MRT? And if so, should it be the whole group or something less than that? Alan Greenberg, I think it's 11:30 at night. and hopefully Alan has been enjoying some of the fine native beverages of Frankfurt, suggests that TSC conduct site visits on site. Paul Kane suggests site visits are not needed. That's certainly a valid point. They're not, you know, they're in the contract. I don't know if the NTIA ever got anything good out of the site visit. I'm certainly not one who's sitting here arguing that site visits have to exist. Don Austin.
Thanks, Greg. Donna Austin. So I don't know this for certain, but I think some of the site visit was associated with, obviously it's a relationship thing. I think the other possibility was that in the most recent contracts that NTIA has with ICANN, there was to be a separation in terms of Chinese walls, I guess, within the ICANN offices itself. So I guess there's merit there in for NTIA to have site visits. But I also want to point to something that I had in the chat, and that is that the IANA has provided updates to the CCNSO on a regular basis at ICANN meetings since I've been involved in ICANN. I expect that that kind of reporting will start to appear during the registry stakeholder group sessions. And I think IANA also does open sessions during the ICANN meetings as well. So to Paul Kane's point about whether a site visit is actually required, I think there are ample opportunities at the ICANN meetings that if you want to have some interaction with IANA and question what's going on, then there are opportunities to do so. I don't know what value a site visit would be, perhaps to see how old the servers are or something like that. But if there was to be a site visit, I would say it would be two or three representatives of either the CSC or the MRT. It does not have to be the committee or the team as a whole.
Thank you, Donna. That was my thinking as well, that there should just be a small group if it's needed at all. And, you know, given that, you know, the site visit doesn't seem to me like this would be all that thrilling. It's not like we're looking at a physical site where there are going to be, you know, extreme needs, you know, for the site to be prepared in a certain fashion. And that it's really more, you know, speaking to the people that's kind of the essence of the site visit. I mean, I suppose one could see, you know, make sure that they're not running IBM PC XTs or K-Pros and that they're not sitting on boxes, but I'm not sure what would really be accomplished by a site visit per se, especially since there could be pictures and the like. So I think, you know, Paul Kane and Mary Numa asked, you know, what about registries that do not attend ICANN meetings? I guess the question is there a need for in-person interaction with the IANA staff that should be satisfied in some other fashion for those who don't attend ICANN meetings? Frankly, I'm not sure that there needs to be. There's webinars that could be handled, you know, seeing Elise Garrick on your computer screen may not be completely as thrilling as seeing her in some exotic locale, but it seems to me to be just as functional. I see that IANA staff to attend regional meetings and give briefings regionally, so that seems to be handling it. Right. In any case, it is a CSC site visit. You know, it's not a huge number of registries that'll be there. It's just a couple of people we're talking about regardless. So I think we may be mixing things up a bit. So I think we've gotten kind of to the end of this issue. Donna, is that a new hand? Old hand. We're now staring at a blank expanse. It's now 5:34. Before we move off of the CSC, I'd like to ask whether there's any general issues with the CSC that we haven't touched on. I think we've certainly not just touched on some, but have mauled them like a kitten with a dead mouse. So if there's any, this is kind of the open chat version here. I see a suggestion from Milton that we could adjourn, given that it is a holiday in the United States and that a number of participants are sitting in Frankfurt and have an early call for tomorrow. I do not find that to be a bad suggestion at all. So I think that anything we start at this point, we won't finish, and that we will have some flagging folks who might actually want to get back to either sleep or a day that's been declared a holiday in their country or by their employer. I see a plus one from Bernie. So I will ask for a last open. The mic is open for anybody who would like to say anything about anything. I think Aubrey says this meeting will drive me to drink as soon as it ends. Hopefully you can do that in the Casablanca bar or wherever you are. That was the bar in Frankfurt when we were there. In any case, I think MRT will be next up. We've been at it for the MRT before, actually, and haven't really spent any time on the IAP or contract, so those, I think, are actually next up. But I will try to circulate some more documents, both go back to the MRT documents and prepare similar documents for the IAP and MRT, and also a summary of the functions that we've assigned to the CSC, which I think have been touched on in this call and the previous one already. So with that, and I see that some members are indicating they are drinking during the meeting, should probably allow them to enjoy their drinks, and I will bring this meeting to a close. And thank you all. Operator, you can stop the recording. And.